for tuning in to another episode of Sneedcast Industry Update, the series where we'll let you know what's new in manufacturing, processing, packaging, coding, and so much more. We'll be dropping a new episode on a bi-weekly basis to keep you up to date with the latest news and insights that affect your business. I'm your host, Alexa, and today we'll be discussing topics ranging from the U.S. Department of Labor and OSHA cracking down on workplace violations across meat processing plants, fishing vessels, and the agriculture industry, to how trends of sustainability are leading manufacturers to rethink their packaging. It's bad enough when child labor laws are violated once. It's even worse when they're violated across the country in 13 meat packaging plants. Packers Sanitation Services Incorporated, also known as PSSI, one of the country's largest cleaning services for food processing companies, has been served with over $1.5 million in civil penalties after it was found that they employed more than 100 minors in dangerous working conditions and positions. The investigation began back in the summer of 2022, when the U.S. Department of Labor officials searched three meatpacking plants owned by JBS USA and Turkey Valley Farms in Nebraska and Minnesota. Here, officials found 31 underage workers, some of which were as young as 13. As the investigation continued, the Department of Labor went on to review records for 55 locations where PSSI provided cleaning services, and they found that children ages 13 to 17 were being employed. Minors were found to be using caustic cleaning chemicals, some of which had already suffered chemical burns. Kids were having to clean dangerous equipment like skull splitters and bone saws. After their findings, the agency managed to obtain a temporary restraining order in November of 2022. And then in December, a permanent injunction was issued stating that PSSI could no longer employ minors illegally. Jessica Lumen, Principal Deputy Administrator of the Department's Wage and Hour Division, told reporters, "These findings represent a systematic failure across PSSI's entire organization to ensure that children were not working in violation of the law. PSSI's system in many cases flagged that these children were too young to work and yet they were still employed. PSSI has been made to identify and remove minors from dangerous working conditions, but under federal law, they've been made to pay $15,138 per minor. The plant with the most violations were the JBS plant in Grand Island, Nebraska, with 27 minors, the Cargill plant in Dodge City, Kansas, where 26 minors worked, the JBS plant in Worthington, Minnesota, where 22 minors worked. Mark Perrone, the international president of the United Food and Commercials Workers International Union, which represent meatpacking plant workers, goes on to say, "PSSI is one of the worst actors in the industry. Paying a simple fine is not enough. Their entire business model relies on the exploitation of workers, vicious union busting tactics, and the violation of human rights. It's upsetting to hear about, and we're sure we can all agree when Jessica Lumen says, nobody under 18 should be working in a meat processing plant." The U.S. Department of Labor isn't the only government entity launching investigations. Recently, OSHA and the U.S. Coast Guard launched one of their own in regards to the dangers faced in the Alaskan fishing industry. The whole investigation started in July of 2022 when a 472-ton seafood processing vessel known as the FV Pacific Producer was inspected and found to have brown, murky drinking water, expired food that was being served to the crew, fish processing water leaking into the dining and dry food storage areas, electrical hazards ranging from broken outlets to exposed wiring, underground extension cords, and improperly installed electrical equipment. Lastly, the vessel lacked a suitable fire suppression system. This wasn't the first time East West Seafoods and owner Christos Sabores had been investigated. They have had a history of unsafe operations. In fact, some of the violations that OSHA had recorded in the past included lack of lockout and tagout procedures back in 2012, 2014, and 2018, as well as lack of machine guarding and fault protection. Not to mention that in 2018, the ship had an ammonia leak. In 2017, the operator intentionally discharged oily bilge water. In 2013, the operator discharged 1,000 gallons of raw sewage into the ocean, just 3 miles off the coast of Alaska. Lastly, the company presented false records to the Coast Guard, which resulted in East West Seafoods and Sabores receiving 5 years of probation and $50,000 in fines. Jack A. Rector, a safety and occupational health management worker for OSHA, said, "For more than a decade, our inspectors have found disgusting and dangerous conditions aboard the FV Pacific Producer, and the well-being of the crew aboard the vessel are at great risk because of its owner's failures." So, what is it that makes this investigation different from all the others? What's to say East West Seafoods isn't just going to go back to their old ways? Well, thanks to the Coast Guard, the FV Pacific Producer Certificate of Compliance has now been invalidated, meaning that all operations have come to a halt and won't resume until repairs are made. Not to be the bearers of bad news, but the U.S. Department of Labor strikes again as they crack down on a Salinas labor contractor that had been withholding final paychecks and the transportation expenses of hundreds of farm workers. Thanks to the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California's ruling, The A. Osuera Company, along with owners Antonio and Hilda Osuera, have been made to pay $410,606 in liquidated damages and $41,351 in travel and subsistence expenses. The 542 affected workers will be receiving their payment within the next 150 days. In addition, the court also affirmed the department's assessment of $8,541 in civil penalties. Back in December of 2021, nearly $1 million were recovered from the company and its owners by the department's wage and hour division. The division investigators determined that the employer's act of missing payroll is what ultimately led to the violations toward the minimum wage provisions of the Fair Labor Standards Act. Not only were violations made toward this act, but also toward the Migrant and Agricultural Worker Protection Act and the Immigration and Nationality Act. What other violations were made aside from missing payroll? Well, workers weren't being paid at the required rates, outbound transportation and subsisting costs that fell under the H-2A program weren't being paid, accurate pay records weren't being kept, and the job order requirements weren't being satisfied. According to the Wage and Hour Regional Administrator, Ruben Rosales, agriculture workers do the hard work needed to feed our nation, and those who employ them must meet federal wage and other requirements or face the consequences. We will not tolerate their failure to respect the dignity of workers and meet their legal responsibilities. Aside from all of the penalties that the A. Osuera company had to pay, what other consequences are they facing? If any additional violations are made to the FLSA, MSPA, or the H-2A, the company will be barred from participating in the H-2A for 3 years. The company also has to hire a full-time monitor to oversee their H-2A and MSPA operations. Supervisors, foremen, and payroll personnel have to attend 4 training sessions on the FLSA, MSPA, and INA over the next 2 years. Regional Solicitor Mark Pilotin said it best. For years, Antonio Osuera and his company have ignored their obligations under the H-2A Temporary Agriculture Worker Program. So the solicitor's office will take every legal step necessary to protect the safety, well-being, and wages of temporary guest workers. Remember, don't bite the hand that feeds you. It might just cost you a pretty penny. Everything is as bleak as it seemed. We mentioned last time that the push towards sustainability was becoming more noticeable, but we're going to be breaking it down even further this week. According to PMMI, the Association for Packaging Technologies, and Euromonitor International, their findings have found that 44% of consumers use sustainable packaging, 52% look for recyclability, 49% look for biodegradability, and 41% look for packaging to be refillable and reusable. With consumers pushing toward ending single-use plastics and increasing other alternatives like paper post-consumer recycled materials, recyclable aluminum, glass, cardboard, bamboo, and wood or plant-based packaging, several food and beverage market sectors are starting to make the switch. Take Coca-Cola, for instance. They've introduced the first made from 100% recycled PET plastic bottles, at least for their 13.2-ounce beverages. The company is targeting consumers between the ages of 18 to 35 that are seeking portion control. The idea is that smaller, less expensive package sizes have the potential to display some 20-ounce PET bottles currently on U.S. shelves. Other companies like Nestle, Mars, PepsiCo, and Ferrero have all made commitments to increase their use of reusable, recyclable, or compostable plastic packaging, as well as increase the use of post-consumer recycled content in plastic packaging by 2025. So, what are some challenges that manufacturers are currently facing when wanting to make the switch toward more sustainable packaging? Moving to paper or cardboard is not only cost prohibitive, but it's also easily affected by humidity and temperature. Glass, on the other hand, requires a lot of energy to make. Recycled materials are more expensive, supply is unsteady, and there's inconsistency in quality. If consumers and manufacturers are pushing towards sustainability, then what's stopping them from making the switch completely? Well, as much as we hate to admit it, single-use packaging still remains in high demand because not only is it convenient, but it's seen as hygienic too. Not only are we seeing more legislation to drive down plastic waste, like the Bottle Bill of 2020, but brands are also setting environmental goals to prioritize the switch from fossil fuels to renewable-powered operations, like those made by Frito-Lay, as you recall. We made it to the end of our segment once again. Just a heads up, we'll be releasing a new customer success interview very soon. In this episode, we had the opportunity to interview Eric Klein, owner of Hidden Stream Farm. Shortly, you'll be able to learn more about how this fourth-generation, family-owned farm has managed to use their clean, healthy, pasture-raised livestock practices to stand out in today's meat industry. As a bonus, you'll also get to learn about how our SneeJet Titan T6 helped the clients add traceability information onto their latest product, Katie's Eggs. Stay tuned for our next episode of SneeCast Industry Update, and like always, make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell down below to stay up to date with all of our great content. Follow our social media platforms to see all of our updates as we continue on our We're Coding Everywhere tour. Also, let us know what topics you'd like to see us talk about here on the show. We look forward to hearing from you all. Bye, guys.